Radio Prague News. A newly established Romani party aims to defend the interests of all socially weak citizens. A requiem mass for the former Czech president Václav Havel was celebrated in St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican on Friday. And Jiří Raška, the 1968 Olympic ski jumping champion who was named the best Czech skier of the 20th century, has died at the age of 70. Romani representatives on Friday established a party for equal opportunities. At the party's constituent session in Prague, its newly elected leader, Stefan Tischer, said its aim was to defend not just the interests of the Romani minority, but that of all socially weak citizens. With that in mind, the party's founders abandoned the proposed name for the party, Adai, meaning we're here in Romani, in favour of a more neutral title. Its founding members will now travel around the country to drum up support for the new political entity. The party aims to run in the autumn 2012 regional elections. A requiem mass for the former Czech president Václav Havel was celebrated in St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican on Friday. The mass, celebrated by Angelo Sodano, dean of the College of Cardinals, was attended by around 100 guests, among them foreign diplomats from the United States, Canada and Europe. The late ex-president's widow, Dagmar Havlova, was unable to attend for work reasons. Mr. Havel died in his sleep at his country cottage on December 18th at the age of 75. Jiří Raška, the 1968 Olympic ski jumping champion who was named the best Czech skier of the 20th century, died on Friday morning at the age of 70. The news was confirmed by his family, but the cause of death was not given. Jiří Raška became the first Czech to win gold at the Winter Olympics when he won off the Middle Hill in Grenoble, France. He also won a silver medal at the same Olympics on the Large Hill. In 1969, Raška set the world record in ski jumping at 164 metres at the Flying Hill in Planica, then Yugoslavia. He also won the prestigious Four Hill Tour in 1971. After his retirement in 1976, he continued to work as a coach, coaching the men's junior and national team. He was known to suffer from heart problems and underwent triple bypass surgery. A group of 34 patients with Alzheimer's disease who were denied biological treatment for lack of money have been assured they would get it after threatening to take a health insurance company to court. The insurance company Krajská zdravotní said it had come to an agreement with the largest health insurer in the country, VZP, on covering the cost of the treatment. There are approximately 18,000 Alzheimer's sufferers in the Czech Republic, with around 1,000 more diagnosed every year. Around 800 of them stand to benefit from biological treatment, and those who were put on a waiting list for financial reasons protested for fear that putting the treatment off would lead to their health deteriorating faster. Heavy snow and icy roads are complicating traffic in many parts of the country. The Liberec and Vysočina regions are the worst affected, with some roads off-limits and others passable only with extreme caution. Meteorologists have issued another warning regarding icy roads and pavements in the early morning hours of Saturday and Sunday. Traffic police are dealing with a heightened number of accidents around the country. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name's Christian Falvey. Many thanks for tuning in. Today, students and professors from Charles University protest the government's planned education reforms. After that, we'll have the news in business. And later on in this week's Arts, the second part of a program looking back at the life and work of author Josef Škvorecký. I hope you'll be staying with us today for all that and more here on Radio Prague. Thursday saw protests by students and teachers from Prague's Charles University in the face of the government's planned Higher Education Act. Critics charge the plans for the legislation will choke academic freedom in favor of business and politics. Jan Wellinger has the details.
5 years of debate and a year and a half in preparation, two bills planned by the centre-right government are expected to bring far-ranging changes to the university education system in the Czech Republic. Planned changes include the introduction of tuition fees and state-guaranteed loans, and changes to how Czech universities are run. Until now, key decisions, for example, were the bread and butter of the Academic Senate, but under the current proposal, a new school council would allegedly take key responsibility. Critics, including Charles University Dean Michal Stehlík, have charged the method of selection to the new council by the Education Ministry would benefit members of the private sector and introduce politics while threatening academic freedoms and overall independence. Here's what he had to say.
We're talking about a board whose members would be chosen by the Education Ministry, nominating candidates from the ranks of politicians and business people, and only a certain number from academic circles. Then these in turn would be the ones to elect the president of the school.
Question marks also remain over tuition. Not expected to exceed 10,000 crowns per semester, students will be eligible for government-backed loans. Previously, graduates were expected to have begun paying back their loans only after they had secured average salary incomes. But the student body has warned that last-minute changes by the government would see fresh graduates forced to begin paying back their loan, even at minimal salaries, something students say they will fight vehemently against. And the protest has already begun. On Thursday, several hundred teachers and students from Charles University demonstrated outside the seat of the government, passing a resolution to ignore the changes being planned by the Ministry of Education and its minister, Josef Dobeš. At the law faculty in Prague, students also threw watermelons from the balcony, each smashing on a white tarp below. Melon is the slang for 1 million in Czech, and 90 to be exact were thrown, each symbolizing 1 million crowns in EU funds that protesters charged were thrown out the window on the government's education reforms. The happening's spokesman Marek Hilscher.
We didn't see a single comprehensive analysis that would properly gauge the situation at universities today.
For its part, the Education Ministry has denied many of the criticisms flat out or called them out of date, reminding critics, professors and the members of the student body alike that it had heard and implemented the recommendations on many accounts. Whether some sort of compromise can now be reached is difficult to say, but appears unlikely even as additional protests are planned for the end of February. 20 out of 26 academic senates have now rejected the reforms as is, meaning the government will have a renewed fight on its hands very, very soon.
Many thanks to Jan Wellinger. This is Radio Prague. Much more coming up in our program, but now, as always of a Friday, it's time for a look back at the week's business news, for which I'm joined in the studio by Sarah Barufka.
According to Andreas Treichel, head of the Erste Group, of which Česká spořitelna is a subsidiary, the Czech economy will be seeing a revival in the second half of 2012. Mr. Treichel told press on Wednesday that the Czech Republic's low debt made the country an attractive choice for investors and that the chances for economic development at a time of a possible European financial crisis were better in the Central and Eastern European regions than in Western Europe. The fact that the US-based rating agency Standard & Poor's last Friday downgraded the credit rating of Austria, where Erste Group is headquartered, could also affect Erste's credit rating, he said. However, the effect is likely to be minimal. The Erste Group is one of the largest financial services providers in Eastern and Central Europe and focuses on retail and banking for small to medium enterprises.
Nearly 2.5 trillion Czech crowns in foreign direct investment have flowed into the Czech Republic since 1993, according to figures released by the Czech Statistical Office on Thursday. Between 1995 and 2009, the share of foreign investors in the domestic economic output grew from 7.3% to 42.5%. Foreign direct investment was highest in 2000, when the sale of state-owned bank and company shares in the Czech Republic reached its peak. Foreign capital is most strongly represented in the financial sector and the car and oil refinery industries. The Netherlands leads the list of foreign investors with Dutch investments into the Czech Republic amounting to 684 billion crowns. German investments reached 317 billion crowns, while Austrian investments came in third place with 279 billion crowns.
The Ostrava-based carrier Czech Connect Airlines has filed for bankruptcy and will stop operating flights effective Saturday. According to a report in the daily Mladá Fronta Dnes, the carrier's main investor dropped out of the company. The airline's owners and management will be discussing measures to save Czech Connect Airlines and minimize the bankruptcy's effect on its customers, employees, and business partners. The company will also have to assist a group of Russian tourists who had traveled to the Czech Republic with the airline a few days ago in finding alternative transportation home. Czech Connect Airlines focuses mostly on scheduled flights to Russia and charter flights for travel agencies to various popular summer destinations. Last year, some 108,000 travelers had flown with Czech Connect Airlines, which had a fleet of only two planes.
According to a poll by the SANEP agency commissioned by the Czech tabloid Blesk, 60% of Czechs associate the term billionaire with money tunneling, corruption, and theft. Only 6% responded that a billionaire is a, quote, successful businessman. Similarly, 35% answered the question whether there are honest businessmen among the country's billionaires with no, while 35% replied probably not. The poll also suggests that 35% of respondents believe former Communist Party officials had an advantage during the privatization process in the 1990s.
The Czech Agriculture and Food Inspection Authority have confiscated almost 2.5 tons of meat-filled spring rolls in an illegal production facility in Prague. Hygienic conditions in the facility were inadequate, the inspectors said. Meat and rice for the production of the spring rolls were wrapped in bamboo leaves. According to police who discovered the facility, the ingredients for the spring rolls, which were sold to the nearby Asian marketplace Sapa, contained mice droppings. In connection with the case, police have arrested four Vietnamese citizens who are living in the Czech Republic illegally and were working in the facility.
Sara Borůvka there with the news in Czech business and economics. If you're just tuning in, thank you for joining us. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name's Christian Falvey. In this week's Arts, Jan Wellinger has part two of a look at the life and work of renowned author Josef Škvorecký, who died at the age of 87 earlier this month. Jan talks to respected Czech critic, translator, and specialist in Czech studies, Petr Onufer, discussing how Miloš Forman almost made a film version of The Cowards, Škvorecký's style as an author, and his role as co-founder of the all-important 68 Publishers in Canada. Petr Onufer talks first about Škvorecký in the 1960s, including how the author felt about the period of reforms known as the Prague Spring.
Strangely enough, he kept his distance towards the Prague Spring because, and I completely agree from today's perspective, because he felt the Prague Spring to be, to a large extent, some sort of creation of the reformist movement within the Communist Party. And he simply never trusted the communists. History shows us that this was probably the right way of viewing Prague Spring because it partly was also a clash within the party and so on. But he definitely, as you said, he definitely was an important figure in the society, in literature, and he definitely belonged to the most popular and widely read authors of the 60s. He was the symbol of the 60s, in fact.
He and his wife left after 1968 and he became a famous emigre author in Toronto, Canada. Within a few years, they had founded, of course, 68 Publishers. This is the other great aspect of Škvorecký's work, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And it is an aspect that is often neglected because of his writer's qualities, just as his work as translator and as a literary critic. Škvorecký's role in Czech culture is quite unique because he did, throughout his life, he actually did a job of like five people, in fact. He was a brilliant writer. He was a great translator, one of the best translators from English that we've ever had. He was a very good literary critic, surprisingly, because he never was too fond of criticism. But nevertheless, he was a great critic. And also, he became a publisher quite late, together with his wife. Milan Kundera once said that nobody in the history of in the 20th century Czech literature did more for the survival of Czech culture than the Škvoreckys. And he was quite right. Škvorecký and Zdena Salivarová really worked hard and did an amazing job in keeping the Czech culture alive, the free Czech culture alive.
So these would be either emigre authors like themselves or dissidents back home, including people like Václav Havel, who they published their writing in Czech but also in English and basically kept this cycle going. And then there was also the loop that some of this literature was being then smuggled back in through various channels back into Czechoslovakia.
That's quite interesting when you imagine a banned author who actually has to smuggle his manuscript out of the totalitarian state only for it to get published and then subsequently get smuggled back so the author can get his beneficial copy. It's quite a funny idea, but that's the way it worked during the 70s and the 80s.
A few years ago, I had the honor of attending an event at the Canadian Embassy where there were a lot of former diplomats there who recalled these days when they were all afraid of ending up as persona non grata because they were active in smuggling things in and, I suppose, smuggling things back as well. It is, as you say, a very fascinating period.
Oh, it's amazing. Plus, it's one of the debts that we actually owe to Canada, that it did become a second home for Škvorecký, actually. He himself considered himself a Czech-Canadian author, which is only proved by the fact that actually after 1989 he and his wife decided to stay in Canada. It's a debt that we should be aware of, I think.
How did Škvorecký's writing change after his move to Canada? Did his writing become more political, or did he maintain that same lyrical style that he had as a younger author?
It's an interesting question. Of course, he was nearly 50 when he decided to go into exile. And what I would say is that his writing became more intensive in a certain way, because he also became a professor at the University of Toronto. So he had to teach students. He had to publish articles, reviews, and papers on literature. And I really think that his writing, in a certain way, became more intellectual, which is quite funny because we also know that a huge part of his work deals with genre fiction, such as detective stories. He was a great fan of detective stories. But that sort of intensity or that sort of intellectual capacity that might have been heightened by his teaching position and so on is to be seen in his late work. One of the examples of which might be his opus magnum, I would say, The Engineer of Human Souls, for which he was nominated for the Nobel Prize and for which he won the Neustadt International Prize for Fiction. We can see that it's basically some sort of Gesamtkunstwerk. It's a really complicated novel that features his brilliant literary critical skills, that features his writing skills. It's almost as if he was showing off, look what a great author I am, look what styles I can use. But it somehow works. He makes it work because of that lyricism of his, because of that slight nostalgia of his. And last but not least, because of his, let's say, personal integrity or personal investment into the fiction. I know that it sounds like a terrible cliche, but that's just the impression that the novel raises. It's very intellectual, it's very well built, very well structured, very well written, but it keeps the human touch, as it were. This is what might remind you of, let's say, William Faulkner's novels or Graham Greene's novels.
If we come back to his earlier book and his character of Denis Mitytsky that we first meet in The Cowards, he did an interesting thing, of course, with that character that Smetitsky had more than one life, more than one literary existence, didn't he?
Yes, he did. We could even say, and now I'm quoting the Czech critic Michal Špiry, that there are more than just one Dany Smetitsky. There are like seven or eight personae that keep changing in his novels. And what's funny, though, is that he himself changes according to the author's stages of life or changes in life. But the other characters don't change that much. In fact, the world around him, the world around Dany Smetitsky, seems to be the same with the narrator, with Dany Smetitsky himself, who's sometimes the narrator, sometimes he's not. The character of Dany Smetitsky doesn't seem to reflect the outer world. That doesn't change. Dany does.
What are some of the other popular books or favored books of Škvoretsky's where the character features?
One of the funniest books that features the character of Dany Smetitsky, and also one of the funniest books by Josef Škvoretsky, is The Swell Season, that basically tells the story of Dany's youth, of his growing up, of his first sexual experiences, and so on. Compared to The Cowards, or compared to The Engineer of Human Souls, it's pure fun, it's sort of burlesque. It doesn't really carry those heavy tones that we see in other books of the Smetitsky saga.
Some of our listeners will no doubt be interested, if they don't know already, about that he was more or less successfully adapted on several occasions as well to film.
Sadly enough, I think that there's not a single good adaptation made after 1989. There's quite a few good films made based on Škvoretsky's books in the late 60s, such as Zločin v Šantánu or Farářův konec. Those are probably the two best films. What I really regret is that in the 60s, Josef Škvoretsky and Miloš Forman, whom he actually knew from his childhood, planned to work together on a movie adaptation of The Cowards. And of course, Miloš Forman as the Oscar-winning director and as one of the leading Czech directors of that era would have made a great movie, I still believe. But the movie was first banned, and then both the authors actually went on to work on other projects. So it was never actually realized.
I definitely agree with you though, that a Forman-Škvoretsky combination at that stage, because for example, I've run into a lot of people who prefer the earlier Forman than the later Hollywood Forman, because there was a certain gentleness of approach that some would say Forman later lost. But I agree that this would have been an amazing combination, so that's the one that got away.
It's like a combination. It's like that cooperation, that legendary possible cooperation between Miles Davis and Jimi Hendrix shortly before Hendrix died. It's just one of those historical moments that I can, you know, always regret that never took place.
Incidentally, when you said that the film was banned, was it actually at some developmental stage when it was banned?
It was. They already had the first draft of the screenplay. But of course, as the film industry was then owned by the state, pretty much every step needed to be approved of by the authorities. And so the authorities banned the actual screenplay, or its first draft, so it never went on. No subsequent steps were taken.
That was critic and translator Petr Onufer talking to Jan Wellinger for that edition of The Arts. Topping off our show for today is the next edition of the ABCs of Czech, brought to you on this occasion by Pavla Horáková and Vladimír Tax.
Hello and welcome again to the ABC of Czech, Radio Prague's Czech language series. I'm Pavla Horáková and with me in the studio is Vladimír Tax.
Dobrý den.
K is our letter for today and the topic is kitchen. Or cuisine, if you like, because the Czechs have just one word for both kitchen and cuisine.
Kuchyně.
Czech cuisine is very Central European. A lot of red meat, very little fish, lots of boiled vegetables, boiled potatoes, stews, thick sauces, and stodgy, high-carbohydrate side dishes. An example is the Czech national dish, the traditional
vepřo, knedlo, zelo,
or pork, dumplings, and cabbage. It's a dish of fatty roast pork, boiled cabbage or sauerkraut, and bread dumplings, extremely popular and probably very bad for you. The man in the white hat is
kuchař
or cook. To fussy eaters, Czechs say
hlad je nejlepší kuchař.
Hunger is the best cook. A female cook is
kuchařka.
The word also means a cookery book. If you ever come to this country and fall for Czech food, you should look for a
česká kuchařka
or a Czech cookery book in the shops, or you can ask the cook for a
recept.
That's a recipe. Czechs eat three main meals a day.
Snídaně
is breakfast and usually consists of a cup of tea or coffee and a sweet bun or a bread and butter sandwich. There's usually too little time for a cooked breakfast or
snídaně na vidličku,
literally breakfast on a fork.
Oběd,
the midday meal, is the main meal, while
večeře,
the evening meal, tends to be lighter. A hearty dinner, which is usually the midday meal or
oběd,
consists of several courses.
Předkrm
is the starter. Then comes
polévka
or soup, followed by
hlavní chod,
the main course. If there is still room in your stomach after all that, you can order
zákusek
or dessert. Speaking of stomachs, there's a Czech saying which goes
láska prochází žaludkem,
or the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. And that expression is a little taster, which brings us almost seamlessly onto next week's topic, which is L for love. And that's all for today from me, Pavla Horáková.
And me, Vladimír Tax.
And if you happen to be eating, we wish you
dobrou chuť
or bon appétit.
That was Pavla Horáková and Vladimír Tax with the ABCs of Czech, wrapping up Radio Prague's English program for today. Don't forget that this show and every other is available at our internet address, radio.cz. If you have any questions or comments, we are always happy to hear them. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz, on Facebook under Radio Prague, or, of course, by post to Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague. From me, Christian Falvey, thanks for listening.